want you to look with me at this passage in 1 Corinthians, in which Paul says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." There's an instant separation between the man of earth, whose eye cannot see the things or hear, nor can his ear hear the things that have been prepared for him by God. Only those who love God. And so the loving of God is brought out instantly as the prerequisite to hearing what is in the finished kingdom of God, to hearing the thoughts of God, to hearing the voice of God, and to seeing in your life the things of God. And so he's going to have to tell us more about what loving God really means, because I'm certain that we all wish to hear and see the things that God has prepared for us. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now we know that in order to see and hear that which is invisible and unheard, we must have a spiritual eye and a spiritual ear, because only in spirit are they revealed. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. We, as human beings, do not know the Spirit of God within us, and only the Spirit of God within us knows who and what we are here to do. So Paul is forcing us to a losing of the personal sense of self, that we may open our inner eyes and develop that mind which was in Christ Jesus, that we may know, see, experience the things of God. Now, we have received, speaking of himself, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. In your spiritual judgment, the judgment is made by the Spirit within you. Being omniscient, it judgeth, it knoweth all things. And finally, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the name of Christ. And so Paul is telling us about Christ consciousness, which is aware, conscious of the invisible, finished kingdom of God on earth. Suppose we were in Paul's class now, and after this preface, he had gone just a step further. "Now, brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That's the condition he found his students in. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, and neither yet are ye now able. Now we have passed the point which Paul is describing here to his students, that they had not passed the point yet where he could speak to them of the meat. He still had to stay with the milk. And you would think, of course, that we have every right to feel at this point that we can go with the meat and go past the milk because we have had the advantage of Paul's teaching. We have had the advantage of more incarnations behind us. We have had the advantage of the Joel consciousness lifting the earth. We have had the advantage of the Jesus Christ consciousness lifting the earth. And so today, if we're still in the milk, we're in the wrong class, and we're not going to gain anything together. We are here for the meat. And the meat must be a realization of reality. There really is no place for any pretense in this work at this level. There is no place for you and I to be using words that we do not understand. And there is no reason why at any time we should flinch from truth, whether we agree with it or not, or even like it or not. So today is the day for the meat. You might call it a message of the absolute. Now you know the infinite way is not an absolute teaching. For this reason, the absolute is when you come into the experience, and not the letter, not the word, not the intellectual idea, not even the principles, but the experience of the presence of God. And so again, I repeat, today is a day for the absolute. To experience the presence of God is the meat. And to do it, we must take away many of the veils which we in some form or another permit to remain, not because we want them to remain, but because in us is the tempter, disguising himself as good, giving us the false persuasion, leading us always to a point where we cannot differentiate between what is and what is not. These veils we must strip. And sometimes it would appear ruthless to do so. But you must only stand on the unyielding principle of truth. Nothing else can be acceptable to one who is seeking the Christ consciousness. And so the first truth we look at is, what is stopping me? What is the great barrier that stands between me and Christ consciousness? Is there 1 or 10 or 5, and what are they? One of the great barriers which all of us encounter is that we are not ashamed to be called good, but we are ashamed to be called bad. If someone says you're a bad person, your back goes up. If someone says you're a good person, you smile. Why callest thou me good, said Jesus? There is none good but the Father. Now this for us is a revolutionary thing to do, to not wish to be called good. But is that really what he's saying? Or is this the great principle of impersonalization which Joel gave us? What is he revealing when he rejects being called good? And here you will find the great barrier to Christ consciousness, which is in all who study their way to spiritual knowledge. There is a person out there who wants to become spiritual. There is a person who wants to draw the Spirit of God to himself and release it in himself so that it may do the will and the power of God in him. And in trying to do this, he has not established the principle that only God exists. Even Jesus had to step aside. You cannot call me good, because if I let you, you will be personalizing the Christ. You will be seeing a human form and putting a label on it called good. And Jesus was saying, I don't want you to see a human form called good or a human form called bad. I want you to see the invisible Christ that I am. So there you have your first and possibly the greatest barrier that we all face. We have not come to the point of accepting the invisible Christ as the revelation which he brought forth. I, the invisible Christ, stand before you. You cannot call me bad and you cannot call me good, for if you do, you are speaking from your humanhood. When you are speaking from your invisible Christ, you will not say a word. You will simply know there is one self, and it is I. This was his revelation there. There is only one good, because God is the only self. Now, you may accept this then and say, what do I do next? Now we have to look out. We have to see this is the truth of John, Mary, Fred, Harry, Rosalie. Everyone we know and see is invisible God self. And therefore, we have to translate this world into the invisible Christ. We have to look out at the faces and the forms, but we have to get on our toes and speak to the invisible Christ. The barrier here is that we are caught napping. Asleep, not on the high watch, flat-footed, not ready and able to look out and look past and through the forms. Now you'll find it takes quite a bit of practice to look through the forms, to redeem every form, to pronounce this world as the invisible Christ, to live in his name. And the only way you can live in his name is to accept invisible Christ as your being, be God-centered, Christ-centered, and then let your Christ center interpret the invisible Christ of the universe to you. And so we're looking out now, not from human eyes, but from our Christ center. And there are the same faces and forms that always were there, the same animosities, the same lacks, the same limitation, the same jealousies. But we are saying to ourselves, is reality here? And the answer must come, God is here and God is reality. Therefore, reality is here. Is truth here? Yes, God is here and God is truth, so truth is here. If truth and reality are here, can their opposites also be here? Can there be any opposite here to God? No, only God is here, only truth is here, only reality is here. And therefore, we accept that where God is, where reality is, where truth is, nothing of an opposite nature is. And now we're separating the visible from the invisible. In our consciousness, we are accepting that invisible reality is here. Invisible truth is here. Invisible God is here, and nowhere can they go, because God being infinite, God being omnipresent, all reality and truth is ever invisibly present. Now we're into one cause. God is the only cause. What can God cause except that which is of God? And all that is of God is perfect. Therefore, the perfect cause can only cause the perfect effect. The visible effects are not the perfect effect. Therefore, God effect, God cause, must be invisible. Cause is here, and effect is here. Cause is here, and manifestation is here. But they are invisible. We have the one perfect cause and the one perfect effect here, invisible, as reality. We have the invisible kingdom of God here as reality, already prepared from the foundations of the world. Is an invisible, finished kingdom of reality and truth manifesting now here invisibly, perfectly, for cause and effect must be one in spirit. We are redeeming our universe. We are looking not to the visible, but to the invisible. We are sowing only to the spirit. We are resting in the statement that by their deeds ye shall know them. And we are not going to be content merely to speak truth or to hear truth, but we are now living in the active awareness of the presence of God. Here, invisibly, is both cause and effect. Here invisibly is the perfect manifest kingdom of God. And I must live by that knowledge. I must now act with the knowledge that the invisible is the presence and reality of God. And because the visible is not the presence and reality of God, I must translate the visible. I must transcend the visible. I must live right through the visible as if it were not there. I must sow not to the visible, but to the invisible reality. I must see no evil. I must look right through the visible appearance, because the conclusion that must be reached is that if God is invisible, and the kingdom of God is invisible, and all spiritual manifestation is invisible, if reality and truth are invisible, if Christ is invisible, then these visible forms cannot be the reality of God. and I cannot speak to the unreality of God. There is nothing I can say to the unreality that does not bring me into a state of unreality. I cannot speak to a human form and pretend to myself that I am doing commerce with reality. I must accept the revelation that there is none good but the Father, which means that there is no reality except in the Father. And therefore, the visible human being is not reality. Now, this is a very difficult lesson because it is the meat and not the milk. We have no human race with whom we can do business. And the longer you keep a human race in survival in your consciousness, the longer you are dealing with that which has no existence in God. You are dealing with matter. You are dealing with the belief that there is life in matter. You are dealing with an image which is not the divine image. And so you must translate this image in your consciousness into what it is. And your voice, your direction, your attitude, your purpose, your complete relationship with that which stands before you must be on a different level than the human mind has permitted you to do it. You must address the invisible Christ where the form appears, in spite of the fact that the form is showing forth nothing of the Christ. Silently you address the world with peace. Silently you address the individual with love. Silently you recognize the invisible intelligence and truth and reality of God where the form appears. And you must practice this again and again and again. You may have left your gift at the altar. You may have left the altar to go and make peace with your fellow man. And you may have come back to the altar to present your gift. And you may find you still cannot present it and you have to go back again. You may have to go back 70 times, 7 times. Until you have neither enemy nor friend who is a human being. Until the only one you know is the Christ. The only one you will accept is the Christ. And that means you almost have to wear two faces. The one that smiles, the one that says yes when it means no. The one that turns the other cheek, the one that gives its coat when its vest has been stolen, the one that doesn't fight an eye for an eye, all because you cannot acknowledge a material presence. You can only acknowledge an invisible Christ, and that is where you are sowing, because it is your desire to reap Christ consciousness. You must sow to the Christ. You must be conscious of the Christ to be in Christ consciousness. The emptiness of thinking we can be in Christ consciousness without constantly being conscious of the Christ must be revealed. This is the barrier. We cannot have Christ consciousness unless we are practicing the consciousness of the Christ. Unless you are looking through what you see in form, size, weight, and density, through a face filled with hate, and able to smile and say, neither do I condemn thee. Right now I am taking you into paradise. I am seeing you as you are. Right now I am redeeming the appearance. Right now I am saying, I do not accept the lie, the hate, the cheating, the adultery, the force, the power, the lust. None of this is you. And I say it not out of the goodness of my heart, not out of being a do-gooder, not out of being holier than thou, but out of the simple fact that all that exists on this earth is he alone who is good. There is no other. I cannot call you evil, but neither can I call you good, for there is none good but the one self that is God, the invisible presence which stands before all of us. And then you're resting in the one infinite invisible self. There is a surrender. You are standing on the unyielding principle of one divine self. And the appearance is meaningless. You are seeing that the ocean and the wave are one. The wave pulses out of the ocean and submerges and comes up again, but now it's a different wave. It's not the same one that went down. And then it goes up and down again, and now it's another wave. But always it's taking its substance from that one ocean. And always it is the ocean expressing itself as a wave. I in thee and thou in me. I in the Father and the Father in me. One. I must accept it for myself. And then I must accept it for my neighbor. One infinite invisible Christ. And now I have the realization of the one in which I can rest, for there is no other power now. No power to be recognized except the one invisible power. The one Father. The one infinite Father is the Father without and the Father within. The ocean and the wave. The Father without this infinite Father is also the Father within me as the infinite self-expressing. That is my name. The Father within you is the infinite self-expressing. And the Father within each one, all added up, is the infinite Father. The one ocean expressing as the infinite selfhoods that appear on this earth. This we accept because we're sowing to the Spirit, to the invisible truth, to the invisible reality. We are resting in invisible oneness. What are these visible forms then? In this invisible resting, we know that the visible forms are not there. They are not there. That which is not the Father cannot be here. But this is quite a bit of meat. Because once there is something in you that can feel that the visible forms cannot be here, you will be finding the invisible self that is here. Once the shock of the finite visible form not being here passes, the truth is revealed. The infinite self must be here. The infinite Christ that is my name is not a visible form. How will I know this invisible Christ? You cannot know it with this human mind. That is what Paul told his students. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. But have ye that mind that was in Christ Jesus? And so we're now finding that there is thought all around us, thought we haven't been aware of, thought floating through the air, divine thought. And Jesus made a great discovery. This divine thought floating through the air contains the will of God. And unless you are receiving this divine thought, you do not have the will of God in you expressing. So you learn to listen. You learn to believe, to listen, to accept, to enter. you begin to live in your invisible selfhood. You drop all of these personal claims of the outer person. You learn that evil is very deceptive. You learn that evil will disguise itself as good. Evil will tell you, good health is what you want, comfort is what you want, and you won't recognize that as the voice of evil, because it's telling you to build a better material selfhood. It's telling you to be anchored in matter. It's telling you to forget the invisible for one reason. If you discover the invisible, as Jesus did, if you learn to live in it and find yourself, you will discover there is a kingdom where evil has no existence. And you've been walking in it. A kingdom where disease is unknown. Right here on earth. A kingdom where death is impossible, because it is the kingdom of life. The infinite invisible is present and here and now, and was completed before the world began. It is ours for the asking, for the accepting. By their deeds ye shall know them, and these deeds must be deeds based upon the acceptance of the invisible. To walk in the visible, conscious that the invisible is present, is real, is true, is perfect, and is the only reality, is translating everything into Christ. And on these facts you can base your total life activity. When you can act in such a manner that you have accepted the invisible perfection of God where you stand, then by your deeds the world will know that you have attained spiritual consciousness. But if your acts are based upon your five sense perception, then these acts will not be in accordance with the will of God. And so the great barrier is the invisible Christ walking unnoticed in your midst, within you and around you, and the fear and doubts and lacks and limitations that appear on this earth represent the degree to which each of us has not accepted our identity as that invisible Christ. We are still trying to analyze it, although we have been told the natural mind receiveth not. We are still trying to live by logic, by reason, when all of spirit is saying, live by intuition, live by faith, live above the logic and the reason. Live by inspiration. Live by acceptance of what you cannot see, because what you cannot see is God. Father's Day is a good time to accept the Father as the Father within, the substance of being, of all being, regardless of its physical appearance in the outer. And this acceptance is the sword of truth, the only sword that Jesus would ever use, the sword of truth, the inner realization that unless I am this which I have been taught by the Christ, I am nothing. There is no life outside of Christhood. There is no life outside of the infinite invisible. There is no life in matter. There is no life where good and evil appear. These are the signs of non-life. The worshiping of God, then, is the acceptance of sonship to God, a sonship that can never be lived in a physical form. When you have rested, letting the mind relax, and have received divine thought, that divine thought will externalize itself as divine activity. You will find that divine thought being omnipotent, it will show forth as the activity of omnipotence. And that is how you bring heaven to earth. But where is heaven? It isn't up there. Heaven is where God is, and God is here. Heaven is where Christ is, and Christ is here. Heaven is where Spirit is, and Spirit is here. Then heaven is here. And then heaven and earth must be one. Here and now. The heaven, which is earth to the physical mind, is invisibly present, and this is what we are walking in. To know that heaven and earth are here now is to know that heaven and earth are one. And to accept that one, so that you're not striving to find or reach or attain, you're in the great I Am. Here now is heaven. Here now is Christ. Here now is God. Here now is Spirit. Where am I? I am that Spirit. That is my name. But if I am that Spirit, am I also the physical form? And the answer is no. And that is where I cross over from belief into acceptance of truth. The physical form is the world concept of the invisible Christ. And as long as I am the physical form, I am denying the Christ. I am denying spiritual identity. As long as you are the form, I am denying your spiritual identity. As long as anyone on this earth is the form, I am denying their spiritual identity. I am dividing the garment of Christ. And as I measure out this unto another, it is meted back unto me. I sentence myself, because the I that recognizes the form and not the Christ is a human I, separate and apart from the reality of self. Now this is truly a high watch. 1 minute you can be out of this if you are not consciously, without ceasing, remembering to acknowledge the presence of God in all things, and only the presence of God, which makes it possible to see that if the presence of God is there alone, that which you are seeing is not there. We can't talk this way except to those who are ready for the meat. Why, you would shrivel up 5 or 10 years ago if you hear about an invisible self and that the visible self isn't there. And right now there are some who find it difficult to swallow. But swallow it someday we will. The sooner the better. You must sow to the Spirit. And wherever your eyes go, there is no Spirit that you can see. Wherever your hands touch, there is no Spirit that you can touch. How then can you sow to it? By the acceptance of it in your consciousness. You cannot do this with your mind. Your mind cannot accept the Spirit. Your mind can say all day long, I accept the Spirit, but it cannot do it. Only if your deeds show forth your spiritual knowledge, has there been an acceptance within your consciousness. If your deeds are not showing forth the understanding of the invisible nature of life, you have had a mental acceptance that never took root. And you will keep looking for barriers to Christ consciousness, and that which is looking for the barriers is the barrier. That mind which is looking for the barriers is the barrier. It will not surrender. It is perpetuating itself at the expense of finding the Christ self. It will not deflate its ego. It is still the tempter saying to God, show me, prove it, jump off a cliff, pay my rent 5 days before it's due, and I'll believe you, God. And that mind, that tempter, isn't going to get anywhere. It's just going to keep hypnotizing you. God isn't going to respond to it. God's kingdom is finished, done, perfect, established, here, waiting for your acceptance, and the evil tempter, which comes forth as a human mind, is not about to let you accept that kingdom without putting up a good stiff fight for another 10,000 years. It wants to live. Now, do you know why evil appears? It only appears because good is present. Do you know why hate appears? It only appears because love is present. A lie appears because truth is present. All of the negatives of this world only appear because the positive is present. Wherever the negative appears, it's because the positive is there. The negative always appears to demolish the positive. It couldn't appear if the positive weren't there. There could be no hate on earth if love did not exist. There could be no lie on earth if truth did not exist. There could never be peace on earth except that war shows that peace is here. When you are told goodwill to man, peace on earth, it means something quite different than we have thought. The peace that is going to be on earth is already here. It is my peace. My peace I give unto you. When? That was said 2,000 years ago. It was said 2,000 years before that. It has been spoken for thousands and thousands of centuries, but there were no ears to hear it. The peace that God gives is God's own self as yourself. The goodwill to men isn't that you feel nice or kindly to somebody. The only goodwill there is the will of God, just like there's none good but the Father. There's no goodwill but the goodwill of the Father. And unless the goodwill of the Father is in you, there's no goodwill toward man. The will of the Father in you is the only good will. And only the Christ has the will of the Father expressing. All this talk about goodwill toward man has never shown us anything. You don't see any goodwill. You see just the opposite. You don't see any peace. You see just the opposite. Why? Because you do not see the Christ, where there is peace and where there is goodwill. The turning from asking the Father to give me some proof happens when you see how ridiculous that attitude was. a mortal being with no reality saying, God, prove something to me. Even these mortal eyes can see all the proof it wants in the order of the heavens, in the order of the oceans, in the order of the animal and vegetable kingdoms and the mineral kingdoms, in the incredible imitation body of man. You can see the hand of something far greater in all of the counterfeit universe. Looking through it, you see the order of the perfect mind. Wherever man's hand cannot touch, you can see that order. Wherever there is no human being to mutilate, to destroy, you can see the order of God. And even that which appears perfect is only our concept of it. It is still greater. The evidence is all around us. The mere fact that you are here is all the evidence you need. And there comes a point where we are ashamed to seek evidence, totally ashamed, because it is nothing more than a sign of our own absolute stupidity to seek evidence of God. To seek evidence that something created a universe. To seek evidence that perfection is here when the greatest evidence of all is the Bible in your hands, which has survived atrocity, inhumanity, war after war, blood after blood. And yet it's in your hands and it's available. What protected it? What brought it to your home? What brought it in front of your eyes? That's the only evidence you ever needed. Now, most of us have passed the need for evidence. We are at that point where we are saying, forgive me, Father, for my stupidities, for my insistence on being that which you did not create. Forgive me for mortality. It isn't long before that inner self is saying, Son, there's no need for me to forgive you. All I know of you is the reality, the Christ, the self, the true being. All thy sins are forgiven thee. My peace I give unto you forever. All that I have is thine. It is here, it is finished, it is ready, it is available. All you have to do is accept it. Open the soul and let the Christ enter. Let that mystical marriage take place. And from it will be born Christ consciousness. From it will be born the awareness that I have never left you. Thou art ever with me, for we are the ocean and the wave. We are the one self. We are the one substance. Don't waste away out there while you were looking for proof. Proof has appeared in the form of Jesus the Christ, Paul, Nanak, Krishna, Buddha, Shankara. Proof has appeared every time a new child is born, if you could but see what is there. Every time a blade of grass grows taller, you are seeing consciousness unfold. Open your inner eye. Discover yourself. It has all the proof you want. And then we rest. We accept. We have no need of proof because I am. I am the proof. All the proof I ever needed, I am. And in my silence, the grace of the Father says, in all things, my grace is thy sufficiency. There is nothing to be withheld. There is nothing lacking. It is all here now in you. Be still. Listen. Wait. Recognize. Know. Let your deeds show forth with my will in them. And your deeds will show forth the treasures of the kingdom on earth. My will in you is the secret. My will in you is the power. And without my will in you, you can do nothing. For there is no you until my will has entered into you. All of our work on this plane is to wait for the will of the Father to make itself known, that we may obey it, that we may walk forth as the child of the Father, expressing that will, that glory, manifesting the invisible finished kingdom on earth. Why so many of you are doing this and have done it in so many small ways, it's really a wonder that we are still in bondage to the flesh. When you rest in the one infinite self, you find the power. It doesn't take long, but you must rest in the one infinite self, not in my Christ, the one infinite Christ functioning everywhere now. And you merely wait. There's nothing to stop the power of that Christ functioning, expressing through one who is accepting it, by silence, by not seeking any more proof, by not questioning, by not trying to live by human logic, and resting in inspiration. Acceptance, total understanding that the Father here now and there now and everywhere now is all that is present, everywhere. And in thee I rest. I accept Christhood. I accept divinity for all, the one infinite self here now. And now we walk in the finished kingdom. We know we're in it. We believe we're in it. We accept that we are in it, and what is our deepest, innermost conviction will manifest in the flesh. We fool nobody. When we accept God within, we demonstrate God without. When we are still looking, demanding, seeking, and not accepting, we cannot show forth God without. We can only show forth the limited human belief. In selflessness, self is realized. One Father, one self, one present kingdom without opposite, and in it walks the eternal Christ, which I am. Well, that's our beginning for Father's Day. We're going to rest a moment or two after this silence, and then we'll see in our second half that all that we have been doing was done by Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. Knowing the truth about himself about God, about life, about being, about spirit, about man. 40 days so that he could walk forth and demonstrate the presence of God on earth. Let's rest in this a moment. Oneself is our theme today, and see if you can hold it within you. It will enable you to relive with Jesus his temptations.